I imagine that you would expect from me to talk to you about the status of human rights today in Morocco. So I will say some words about this. We, as the Advisory Council on Human Rights, are in charge of monitoring the implementation of the recommendations of the Equity and Reconciliation Commission, which was created back in 2004, and which was, its mandate, it had to supervise the indemnification, both individual and collective, of victims of past abuses. Second, its mandate consisted also of helping to elucidate the truth about what happened in a given period of the contemporary history of Morocco, especially concerning missing people, people who were classified as missing. And third, the mandate of the Equity and Reconciliation was to, recommend reforms to be introduced in the legal and judicial Moroccan system so as to guarantee non-repetition of past abuses. So where are we today concerning all these components of the mandate of the Equity and Reconciliation Commission? Concerning indemnification and particularly individual indemnification, the Equity and Reconciliation and then the Advisory Council have so far indemnified about all people who were eligible for financial indemnification, and this concerns something like 12,000 people. Besides, the same people plus their families are now eligible and in fact benefit from medical care. A third component of this major recommendation concerns social reinsertion. Of course, it wasn't possible to help reinsert everybody that deserves to be reinserted in the economy, especially because of age. But the program was extended to the children of the victims, and they can now join any training center in the country, whether private or public, to enhance their skills and their abilities to integrate into the economy. That's for individual indemnification. We have also a program, we think that it is unique, of collective reparation. And this concerns 11 provinces that were identified by the Equity and Reconciliation Commission for having been exposed more than others to repression and marginalization. In all these provinces, we have now programs that are twofold. One aspect of them concerns the preservation of memory. These are places where there were, for example, secret detention centers. These detention centers are now being transformed into cultural compounds, cultural and social compounds, where people can get training, when people can look at traces of past abuses, small museums, and the like. And the other aspect of these programs is simply development. Many of these places were deprived of any infrastructure, for example, for years. So now we are trying to help these areas, to catch up with the average of the rest of the country. The second major recommendation, as I said, was about truth. The Equity and Reconciliation Commission has left us with a list of 1,200 people who were classified as missing. We have managed, I mean, to find out about what happened to these people. For most cases, we are now left with about 20 people which are more difficult, but we are using advanced, I mean, technological means to try and find out about the identity of some remnants, for example, that we found in secret detention centers. Third set of reforms, the one concerning judicial and even constitutional reforms to be introduced in the system. This recommendation concerns three groups of reforms. One has to do with the text of the Constitution. The Equity and Reconciliation Commission recommended that that human rights be not only referred to in a general way in the text of the Constitution, but that they should be exhaustively listed, and their violations as well. And we are working on this. A second group of reforms has to do with the judicial system. Of course, many abuses happened because the justice system wasn't independent enough. So one of our major objectives today is to help giving more independence to the judiciary system. And the third group of recommendations concerns security services. Of course, one other reason why abuses happened in the past is because repression and security services were quite autonomous, let's say, and out of any control. So we want to change this, and we have groups working on this. We are preparing concrete proposals to be conveyed to the head of state before the end of this year. If I were to try and sum up, I would say that when we are finished with this, we would be in a position, I think, to claim that as far as civil and political rights are concerned, we would be in a relatively comfortable situation. We could really claim that we have put both, our feet on the ground of the state of the rule of law and of a state of democracy. And then we will be able to move towards more of a concentration on social, economic, cultural, and environmental rights of the whole of the Moroccan community. I have in mind especially issues like the right to health, to good health, the right to decent housing, the right to employment, the right to education. These are all rights that are, of course, lacking since we are a developing country. We haven't concentrated on this. The whole of the country hasn't been able to concentrate enough on this. And I think that the entry to this was to start with civil and political rights. Now we can claim that we are well advanced in this direction. We still move in or shift into the issue of democracy, which is larger, I think, than the human rights issue, we still are suffering in our country from some lack of balance between the major powers. And we suffer a lot from what I already alluded to, which is the lack of independence of the judicial power, but also the legislative power is also relatively weak, which was clearly demonstrated through the last legislative elections we had back in September 2007. If we talk about the legislative, we talk about political parties. Political parties are not strong enough in our country, not united enough, not, let's say, they haven't updated enough their programs, their ideology, their approach to the relationships with the people at large. They need to do some effort. I mean, we need some political development in the country. And then I think that if we do that in a correct way, and if the Moroccan people are unified enough around these objectives, maybe we can claim that we have not only secured the basics of human rights and of democracy, but the standards, the highest standards of human rights and democracy. But it's certainly still a long way to go. Thank you.
Thank you.